In the midst of this world of turmoil and darkness, we have this wonderful feast of light. And I can't help but this gospel is the most intriguing, I think, in the entire New Testament, other than the resurrection stories. And that is that you've got this angel who is of a different creation, a different order of being, and yet Mary is destined to be the queen of the angels, lower than the angels by nature. The Lord is going to take on our human form at the Immaculate Conception forever. And the second person of the Trinity has a human body, a glorified human body. He invites us into this mystery. And please, God, in heaven, we will have an understanding of this. It's amazing. So these two different creations come together at this moment. Mary's not expecting it, of course. She handles it pretty well. You know, she manages to grill the angel with a few very pertinent questions. I would have fainted right on the spot. But she's suspicious, you see. She knows that angels come in two flavors. And she wants to make sure this is on the up and up, because she's made a commitment already before God as a virgin. And now the angel seems to be contradicting her plans. Isn't that the way it is with God? I was reminded yesterday of my favorite place. Our Lady of the Snows is in Rome. I've been there. I've been to that place four times. It's funny to think about it today. That's in August. In the year 2001, I went to Egypt and on a private tour, and I went to Cairo a few days early. It's often good on these tours to go a little earlier, stay a little longer, and the travel is the expensive part, and then you get the jet lag out of the way. So I went to Cairo to see this. In particular, I wanted to see some of the Coptic stuff, and to see this place where Our Lady was said to have appeared in Zaytun. I've talked about this a number of times. And in fact, there's a lady that used to come to church here that was actually present during these apparitions. She was going to school in Cairo and saw this. Our Lady appeared over the dome of a Coptic church, was photographed in 1968 through 1970, was on the cover of the newspaper in Cairo of her appearing. Before Photoshop, you can get a copy of this newspaper. She knew when to appear before it could be doctored. And even now, this particular phenomenon has been tried. They've tried to reproduce it and cannot with modern technology. She would appear visibly over the dome, not standing on it, in light during the night, sometime in the middle of the night, not every night. People would camp out watching for this. She appeared to everyone, Jews, atheists, Coptics, Muslims, people of no faith, people of agnostic faith, didn't say a word. If she said anything, she probably would have set up an uproar with a crowd like that. And it was over a site, one of a number of them, the Copts have, that they venerate as places that Mary and Joseph stopped with Jesus on their flight to Egypt. This is one of those places. And I went there and came home with a picture. And I was thinking about how the angel comes from a world of light into a world of darkness. The world we live in is dark because we can't see. In the first reading, we see very clearly that in the story of Adam and Eve, that it was not meant to be the way it is. In other words, that Adam and Eve is a bit of an allegory, because there's no way to fully describe what the world was meant to be like for us. It's not that we were meant to have a natural life like we are now, but not one of ignorance. We were meant to know there is a God, that what life was about, that there is an afterlife, that we're loved, that we're here to grow, and yes, to suffer. You notice that the childbirth pains were not given because of sin. It was just increased. In other words, suffering without knowledge of why we're suffering. Growth was supposed to be in this life. The afterlife was supposed to be known. And all of this was lost to us. Now we have this so-called scientific world that sees almost nothing about what actually is coming. You know, people live as if there's no world of the future. And in the midst of this, We find Mary in her various apparitions, but particularly the one in Cairo, where we have all this light. Sometimes the Holy Spirit would appear. In the picture I have that was in the newspaper, there's a dove over her head, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Saint Joseph would appear, or angels. But at this time, Mary is just like us, and this being from another creation appears to her. The minute she sees the angel, the game is up. Now she knows, without a doubt, that there is a world of the future, but she has to pay a heavy price for that. The fact that she's seen Gabriel means that she's going to have to suffer terribly. The fact that she is preserved from the tendency to fall into sin like we do doesn't mean that she's not going to suffer terribly. She will have to watch this child. She knows fully well that he's God. She knows who he is. She knows on some level even that he was the creator of everything. She doesn't know everything, but she has to watch him die on the cross while she faithfully stands under it. What parent would have to go through anything more than that? Some of you have experienced the death of a child. And so in this feast day, then, we are called, I think, to remember the great future and hope that God calls us to. He doesn't answer all of our questions on earth, still less does he preserve us from suffering, but we are restored to some of the knowledge. One of the great gifts of our faith is we're restored to some of the deep knowledge of what the future really holds, that is denied those in their arrogance that don't even open the Bible, that seem to have knowledge of everything. We're living in this age of information where you just have to open the internet and see whatever knowledge you want, but somehow the knowledge of the spiritual world seems denied to us. There's more evidence for angels than there is for the Big Bang, and yet somehow people don't understand that we're here as a test, that life is not the way it seems. These beings are right here, and in fact, we're destined to live forever with them. It's a very short time that we're left in this ignorance here. Mary wants to invite us into that world. She crossed over when her time came, and now lives with them and came back with them to tell us that the world is a good world. We see this also in Lourdes with Bernadette, which is where that song comes from that we sang, the Lourdes song, Immaculate Mary. That's what they sing when they do the procession around there with the rosary every evening. They sing Immaculate Mary in many languages. And so we just ask God to give us, to remember the great hope that we're called to, and to keep in a world of pain where things happen that are not pleasant. I don't know that the snow is pleasant or unpleasant, but it's fun. I noticed across the street, I took a bit of a snow morning. I worked on the computer and watched the snow come down. You got to take advantage of your opportunities. And I noticed a family came out with a makeshift sled. They were pulling their kids along, taking advantage of this brief moment. I think that's what we have to do in life, is take advantage of our brief moment on earth with the knowledge we're given, to choose the light, and keep repenting of the darkness that creeps into our lives, and be like Mary. Though we have the cross, we're full of hope. We know the resurrection is coming, and we will live in light then forever.